They say the eyes are the windows to the soul, but for some, when you look, all you see is darkness. Today, we're sharing stories of black-eyed entities. Welcome to Shadowland, everybody.
Welcome.
This is a podcast that shines a spotlight on stories of the supernatural, mysterious, eerie, and unexplained. Stuff like werewolves.
Fossilized alien bodies.
Forest mimics.
Ultra-terrestrials.
Haunted forests.
Shapeshifters.
Haunted lighthouses.
Shadow people.
Cursed objects.
Haunted eBay objects.
Yes. The Hat Man.
The Dog Man.
Vampires.
Mantis Man.
All that stuff.
All that stuff and more.
Lots more. I'm Christina Callery.
And I'm Seth Jablum.
And today, we're sharing stories about...
black-eyed entities.
Black-eyed entities. Yes. We've touched on this subject before. Seth, you covered... kind of the OG black-eyed kid story about Brian Bethel in a past episode, like way back. But it turns out it's not only kids. There are reports of black-eyed entities kind of in a broader sense out there. And so, and they're also, they're very terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, just the image of, like, black eyes, something about that is, like, is terrifying. Although it's also, like, I mean, like, we've definitely heard in our stories, like, people with, like, you know, who see, like, shadow people or people with, like, black faces or dark faces. But there's something about, like, the face being there and then just black eyes. Although, I guess in a lot of the, like, you know, extraterrestrial sightings or experiences, they often have, like, deep black eyes, but they're not as, like, empty, you know, I think, as maybe some of these other ones that we're about to hear about.
Right, yeah, like, people talk, you know, often about staring into a void. Like, there's an additional, almost like a spiritual feeling that people get that creates the sense of alarm. So more than the color of the eyes, there's just this sense of nothing there.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe the scary part, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of scary parts too.
Okay. All right. Well, do you want to get into it? Since this is our Spooktober episode, did you say you wanted to do some sounds maybe here in the beginning?
Yeah. Maybe Tim, you can set us up with some like spooky and wind howling, Halloween-y spooky sounds.
Chains clanking.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah. Like, yeah, set the mood. Yeah. Set the mood.
Okay, so cool. So should we jump in?
Okay, let's do it. So this first one is the Canuck Chase Black-Eyed Child. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this story. It takes place in the UK, but it all started in the summer of 1982 when an 18-year-old young woman and her friends were hanging out in Canuck Chase, which is a scenic wilderness area in England known for its stunning landscapes and many hiking trails. The teens had been to this place many times, but on one evening, as darkness approached, the young woman heard something startling. It was the voice of a little girl desperately calling out for help. So, instantly concerned, she rushed to follow the sound of this voice and emerged onto a trail where she saw this young girl who looked about 6 years old. The girl was running along the trail in the opposite direction, away from her. So the young woman raced to catch up with her, but she finally did. And at that point, the little girl turned around to face her, looked up into her eyes, and that's when the teenager noticed that this was no ordinary girl. Her eyes were completely black from edge to edge, with no whites at all. So, at this point, the little girl darted off the trail and disappeared from view, running into the dark woods and disappearing into the trees. So the young woman was stunned and chilled, and the police were called, and they conducted a search but turned up nothing. So years later, the eyewitness would tell this story to her nephew, whose name was Lee Brickley, who went on to become fascinated by the account and also a paranormal researcher specializing in this phenomenon that took place in this area of Kennock Chase. So it turns out the sightings have actually continued to this day. So another one took place on September 13th in 2004, when a husband and wife were walking their dog along a main path in the Kennock Chase Nature Preserve. All at once, they heard the sound of a child giggling just beyond the edge of the tree line, right? But they couldn't see anything because it was shrouded with leaves and underbrush. So the couple stopped and they went over to the tree line and they were trying to get a glimpse of who was hiding in the undergrowth. Was it someone who needed help? You know, you'd be concerned. You know, you're out in the middle of this like forested area. But at this point, the giggling stopped. And not seeing anything, they decided, okay, well, let's just keep going. But all of a sudden, a young girl was standing right in the middle of their path as they're walking. And they later said she was wearing this old-fashioned white dress and was staring at them. And when they looked at her, she had solid, black, emotionless eyes. But even worse, she was smiling. And like, just like out of a horror movie, she had her head cocked kind of severely to one side. So
that's not good.
Right? It's never a good thing. And the husband later described this as looking uncomfortable, almost like someone being hanged. So almost like mocking that kind of a scenario or alluding to it in some way. And they called out to her, but she didn't respond. She just kept staring in their direction. So at this point, their dog took a few steps toward the girl, and she turned and ran back, disappearing into the tree line while giggling. Oof. I mean,
yeah, there's something like so sinister about like a child's giggling in that context, right?
Right. Yeah, there's something about like a child ghost or anything to do with it. I don't know what it is. Is it that juxtaposition of the innocence of childhood with the sinister or the proximity? Like, just because a lot of people have this sense, and we can get into this later, of like children being so close to like what's beyond the veil, or, you know, I think a lot of there's a lot of kind of a belief that kids are more attuned to the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it is something to do with like the innocence, you know, the sense of innocence, or even just like the unknown aspect of it, right? Like, why is a kid laughing? Do you know what I mean? It feels like such like a wild card, such a like, why? I mean, because you can think of like an adult trying to like mess with you. I think you don't think a kid is necessarily trying to mess with you at that level, right?
It's just scary. Okay, I'll just keep going. Okay, so this next story was reported to Lee in 2014. A woman wrote to him with this account, and I'll just read it. Around 2 months ago, my daughter and I were walking through Birches Valley, an area well known for its spectral sightings, when we heard the screams of a young child. I couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl, but they definitely seemed in distress and sounded very close to us, so we instantly started running toward the noise. We couldn't find the child anywhere, and so stopped to catch our breath. That's when I turned round and saw a girl stood behind me, no more than 10 years old, with her hands over her eyes. She then put her arms down by her side and opened her eyes, which is when I saw they were completely black. No iris, no white, nothing. I jumped back and grabbed my daughter. When I looked again, the child was gone.
Yikes. So, I mean, like, I know you're probably given the amount of description they have there, but, like, in these ones that you've read, is it that, like, there's no eyes at all? Like, it's, like, flat blackness, or that it's, like, an eye that is black? Like, did you get the sense from anything you read of, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's described different ways. Some accounts describe them as having almost, like, a shiny black eye.
Right, as if it were an eyeball, but just a black one.
There's no sclera, there's no white at all. So it's like a pupil that entirely covers the eye, like an insect. Sometimes it's described as shiny, sometimes almost like there's a void, like there's nothing there.
I don't know what's worse.
I know. they're both not something you want to see, right?
Totally.
Okay, so this next account took place in October of 2022. And this was reported in the British press. A young couple who were given the false names of Kylie and Ben to protect their identities were camping in Cannock Chase in 2021. They were both 17 years old at the time, so, you know, teenagers, and they'd set up their tent in a woodland area surrounded by trees. After a day of hiking and hanging out at their campsite, the two young lovers went into their tent to go to sleep. At around midnight, they heard the sound of movement just outside their tent. And at first they assumed this is just a deer, but they stayed very quiet so they could listen. And soon it became clear that this wasn't an animal. What they heard was the sound of human footsteps. So at this point they unzip their tent and they peered out into the darkness. And that's when they heard it, a small child giggling. Grabbing their flashlights, they shone their beams in the directions of the laughter. Ben spotted it first. It looked like a small girl darting between the trees, peering out at them from behind one trunk, and then disappearing, and then appearing a moment later behind another. Finally, she stepped out into the clearing directly in front of them. And that's when they knew for certain that this was like not your ordinary girl, because as their beams were trained on her, she gazed back at them and her eyes were solid obsidian black. So, according to the Birmingham Mail, Kylie later said, "I was absolutely terrified. I'd read the stories in the news about the black-eyed child, but it wasn't until the thing stood right in front of me that I could quite believe them. I knew instantly that we were dealing with a real thing because it moved in ways humans simply can't move. It was like it could teleport from one place to another when it was moving around and hiding behind the trees." And then Ben said, "I was shining my torch right at her, and she just stood there staring at us with her head slightly dipped." So just like, you know, that previous story we mentioned, you know, like her head is cocked. That's when the giggling started to get louder and louder. It really sounded like it was coming from all around us, even though I could see she was right in front of us. It was really disorientating. Okay. S-I-C. For a few seconds. Then she bent down for a moment as if adjusting her shoes, stood back up, ran off down a nearby path and into a dense section of trees. Terrified, the two teenagers then stayed awake for the rest of the night. I mean, I would too, huddled together in their tent. But the story doesn't stop there, because when the sun rose, like, they were determined to get the fuck out. And when they emerged from their tent, it was around 7 a.m. They saw piles of stones that had been placed evenly all around the perimeter of the tent.
Ooh, okay.
And, like, with intention. And there were also what they described as strange stick formations hanging in the nearby trees, which is very Blair Witch sounding. They described them as like, dream catchers. Unnerved even more, you know, when they saw this, they quickly packed up all their stuff. They headed back to their car, which was about a 15-minute walk away down the trail. But as they were walking towards their car, Kylie saw something from behind an oak tree peeking out. It was the face of a small child peering out at them, and the eyes were solid black. So at this point, Kylie screams, Ben shouts, "Leave us alone," and they ran as fast as they could. They booked it back to their car. Lee said that he's encountered the entity in the area himself. This is the expert whose aunt had first had that original story. And he described his encounter, which took place in April of 2018. When he was walking in Kennick Chase, he said he saw the little girl staring at him from a distance of about 100 meters in front of him, and she gazed at him for about 30 seconds before vanishing in front of his eyes. And so he thinks that this area is sort of a paranormal portal, because there are so many reports, not just of this particular girl, but of other monsters and entities and spirits. So, you know, this really reminds me with the behavior of peeking out from one tree and then another of our, like, forest mimics. Yeah. You know, we've covered this in the past. You know, people have this feeling of being followed and you know, they or the hide behind, which we did recently. It all feels like it's very, very similar.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Okay, so supposedly this entity has been captured on camera.
Okay.
And I'm going to send you some stuff. Okay, cool. So get ready for it. Okay. So in 2015, drone footage was posted to YouTube. And the first video shows an aerial view of this area in the woods in the UK as the drone flies over the trees, and it's broad daylight. But at one point, you can see, like, this white patch in between the trees and you know, the underbrush. The people manning the drone decide they want to go down and get a closer look. So they do that. They take the camera down. And in the next view, the drone is, like, hovering over the clearing closer to the ground, directly facing the tree line where this white patch is, and you can clearly see what looks like a little girl in a white dress standing just at the tree line moving. So at this point, then, they zoom in closer, and you can see she appears to have long dark hair, which she then kind of parts and, like, clears from her face. And I'm just going to send this to you right now. So you can get, like, a look at it, and I want you to tell me what you think here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like all of these stories, like, they're, like, kind of creepy enough without the eyes. just seeing a kid in the forest is, like, weird enough.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, an unattended, like, actually these days, like, an unattended child, like, anywhere is also, like, kind of off-putting. Or cause for concern, for that matter. I'm going to watch this.
Yeah, watch it now. Okay, and then I'm sending a second one. Don't watch this one. But
watch
the first one. Watch the first one, and then I sent you a second one, which we'll get into in a sec. So you can just see.
Okay.
Her skin looks, like, ghostly pale, and her eyes are kind of like these dark holes.
So they're, like, flying this, and they know this area is, they're, like, flying it through the woods, and then they just see, like, a figure in the forest. So they're like going down to see it. I'm going to give you the blow by blow.
Yeah, please. And we'll post this. Yeah, we'll post it on our Facebook and our Instagram. And
yeah, it's weird because they look like kind of big, but whatever it is, it's very weird. Very weird looking.
It's wearing a white gown, right?
Yeah, with like long hair, like long black hair, sort of like scraggly. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's pretty creepy. Yeah.
Nothing scary about that out in the woods.
So this is supposed to be the area that some of this stuff happened or something?
Yeah, the Cannock Chase area. Yes. So people, you know, some people believe that they've actually captured footage of this black-eyed girl.
Wow. So then, okay, gotcha. So did you say you sent another?
I'm going to get into that now. Okay, so, and this one, you know, I mean, obviously, whenever people post these things online, there are always the skeptics that, and, you know, rightfully so, you know, question, you know, is this legit or not? This next one feels like, you know, the skeptics might have a harder time arguing with it. I don't know. Okay, so a year before this one took place in 2014, a woman named Mrs. Mason took her two kids for a walk in the area. So they went out onto the trails in Cannock Chase, and the kids decided that they were going to climb a tree, and she wanted to capture the moment on camera. So she took a photo then and didn't look at it closely until she got back home later. And as she looked at the image, she could make out this sort of kind of faint image in the background of a little girl's face peering out from a nearby tree. So, Seth, take a look and tell us what you see. Okay.
Wait, what, the little girl at the end? What is that? Wait, this is the images that you sent from the drone footage, no? Is that what you're talking about?
There's another one. In the four, keeps scrolling.
Wait, what's this little girl here?
Keep going down.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Oh, I see.
Yeah. Keep going down. It's the two little kids in the tree.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So where is that? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's like one of those ghostly figures sort of in the photograph. Okay. Yeah. That is super creepy.
Like you can see it. You can, and we'll post this one too. But to me, what stands out is this looks, it almost has this effect of being superimposed. You can see a face of what looks like a child with like black, large black eyes. And it isn't like the foliage or the, you know, the surrounding trees or leaves creating this image. It's not like a pareidolia thing. It's,
yeah, it's for sure. I mean, it looks like, you know, a lot of the like, I mean, I guess it all depends on like the, not that you couldn't Photoshop something like this, right? But like, you could definitely Photoshop.
Right. Yeah, you
like
could definitely Photoshop like, it.
Did they take it? I mean, it's all about the original, right? Like, do they have this original? But it does look like those types of photos that, you know, have not been proven digitally altered or something, you know, where they do have sort of figures in them and faces. It does have that vibe to it and like look to it for sure. Yeah, that's super creepy.
And this isn't like, to me, this doesn't look like the face on Mars type of phenomenon.
Yeah, no, it's not that, right?
Oh, okay. I mean,
And it's almost like a little hand or something.
There's
like,
a face
like
a little there.
Hand there, and it's like kind of in the trees. Yeah, that is super creepy.
I almost see like a little skull beneath it too. So we'll post this and you guys can like weigh in. You be the judge.
Yeah, we'll definitely post that. Yeah, cool.
Okay. So it turns out that this area of Canning Chase is the location of more than one horrific incident. So there may be a reason for these sightings. In the 1960s, a serial killer named Raymond Morris murdered three young girls, and their it's horrible. And their bodies were discovered in Canning Chase. And even long before that, in the 1800s, there was a diphtheria outbreak that killed many young children. And a side effect of the disease is apparently the victim's eyes become sort of sunken and hollow and dark looking. So some people believe this could be the ghost of one of these children. But others see it as a sinister entity and something even demonic or alien in nature. Mm-hmm, and we can get into that in the end. Personally, I don't think that little kids stick around in this dimension, you know, as ghosts.
Well, I hope not.
I hope not too, but I kind of don't, yeah. Anyway. Okay. So, you know, as we mentioned earlier, we did cover some black-eyed kids stories in a past episode, including the one that's often said to be the original, Brian Bethel's encounter in Texas. And these stories always unnerve me. And I recently listened to an interview with Brian, and he sounds very logical and reliable. So if he's lying, I'm not sure what he gets from it. He still sounds like shaken up by the experience all these years later, where when he listens to other people's accounts, it still affects him. So I wanted to add a few more classic black-eyed kid stories to the mix tonight that I found. So people, you know, as I said, credit Brian's story as being the first one, but as we saw in the past stories of this, you know, black-eyed girl ghost, it's not the first. And in fact, one of the earliest reports took place in 1950, and it was described by David Weatherly, who wrote a book on the black-eyed kid phenomenon. And according to this account, a 16-year-old boy named Harold was walking home from his friend's house in a small Virginia town one day. As he was making his way down the dusty country road, he saw a young boy leaning against a nearby fence. Now, Harold lived in this was a very small town, and everyone knew everyone. But he had never seen this boy before. As he drew closer and went to pass the boy, Harold said hello, as you would do, but the boy didn't answer. He remained silent. So Harold asked the boy if everything was okay, and he still got no answer. So Harold shrugged it off, and he kept going on his way. And at this point, the boy spoke and said, "I want to go to your house. You're going to walk me up to your house." Harold stopped and took a closer look at the boy, and it was then that he noticed the child's eyes. They were entirely black. And he was immediately overcome with the urge to flee and the sense of dread, but he felt frozen in fear. And it almost seemed like he knew what Harold was thinking, because the boy then said, "Now don't you run away from me. You're going to walk me up to your house." And that finally, like, triggered Harold's fight or flight response, and he booked it. And as he was running away, Harold heard what he described later as this horrible screech that sounded like a bobcat's. And, you know, judging by, you know, where it was coming from, it seemed to be coming from this boy, but it didn't sound human. So Harold kept running until he reached his house, and he told his parents what had happened. And his parents thought this must be some kind of, like, demonic spirit or a devilish encounter. His father reportedly went out with a shotgun to search for the boy, but didn't find him. I'm not sure you can detect demons with firearms, but that's maybe another discussion. Harold's mother was so disturbed and upset by his story that she took him to the local priest for a blessing, just to be on the safe side. So these stories have been around for a while, and they've continued. This next one was reposted on the liveabout.com site, and it comes from a U.S. Marine who used the name Reaper31. I'll just read it to you verbatim. "I'm a Marine stationed at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. I live in the infantry barracks off of River Road, and I recently had a rather strange encounter with a pair of black-eyed kids. I live on the third floor of the barracks that have open walkways on the outside and the rooms on the inside. This happened on a weekend back in November of 2009. It was a weekend, so almost every Marine was out, either home, drinking, or sleeping. Only a handful were left in the barracks awake. I'd stayed in that weekend because I was broke and had no money to go out. I was watching a movie when I heard a knock at my door. Figuring it was my roommate who lost his key again, I went and opened it. Instead of a drunken roommate, though, I found two little kids standing on the walkway. Only these kids freaked the hell out of me. I don't know what it was about them, but as a Marine, we're always told to listen to that little voice in your head because it just might save your life. Right then, that voice was screaming at me to shut the door and lock it. There was also the fact that these kids had absolutely, like there was also the fact, this would be the main thing for me, had pitch black eyes. I mean, no white or any other color to them whatsoever. Just black. But I pushed those things aside and I asked them what they were doing there so late. They responded by saying that it was really cold out and they wanted to come in and read. I was confused as hell because I've never met a kid that wants to read.
I don't know about
you
that.
You didn't meet me when I was
Yeah, my daughter
wants
to read.
Aww. Also, there was no mention of any parents or anything else you'd expect a lost couple of kids to say. I couldn't take my eyes off their pitch black eyes. It was like they were sucking me in. I felt horrible and was suddenly frightened for my life, like I needed to immediately take cover. They just stared at me with those goddamn eyes. I took a quick look up and down the walkway to see if any other Marines were out, but there was nobody in sight. I turned back to the kids, who I noticed had taken a step forward towards me. I got the feeling like I was being hunted, like these kids were predators and out for their next meal or something. Instinct gave way to reason, and I decided to listen to that voice, and I shut the door and locked it. I heard soft, constant knocking for the next 5 minutes before I heard my window rattling and then nothing. I went down to the officer on duty the next morning and asked him about it, and he said he hadn't heard any or seen any kids in the area at all, and he dismissed it, saying that I'd probably had too much to drink last night. Only I hadn't been drinking at all, or anything like that. I don't know what or who those kids were, but I doubt any of the families here would let their kids wander around at night on a military base. And that's the end of that story. And I just have to say, it really ticks a lot of the boxes from these black-eyed kid encounters, because they tend to come at night, they knock on a door, they ask to be let in, and they give some excuse like wanting to use the phone, you know, or in this case, wanting to come and read, or being cold, and they seem to be playing on sympathy. But people... it's like you have this sense of dread that overwhelms you, and you know something's not right. This isn't a normal situation that you're in with a human. And that's something that comes up again and again in these stories. I've got another one, and the user is Kmendo4, who said, "One night when I was 10, I was woken up by my bedroom door opening, followed by someone sitting on my bed. I felt my leg grazed and the bed sink under a person's weight. It's just mom, I thought, and I opened my eyes. It was not my mom. I found an eyeless boy. He had black, empty sockets. About my age, sitting at the foot of my bed, he extended his hand and it was a little box. I was startled but reached out. He pulled back. I reached again and said, "Give it." Then I blinked, and when I opened my eyes, he was gone. But I could still see the imprint where he'd sat on my bed. So you might think that's a dream, but fast forward 5 years. My girlfriend came over to do homework. After she finished, she took a nap while she waited for her parents. When they arrived, I tried waking her up. She opened her eyes suddenly, looking up at a corner where the wall met the ceiling. She pointed there and then went back to sleep. I shook her again. She came to full consciousness and I explained what she'd done and she looked haunted. Up on the wall, I saw a little boy with no eyes. He was there in a Spider-Man pose, staring at me. I freaked out and told her my story about the same kid. Fast forward another 5 years, I was with the same girlfriend and we had a 2-year-old. We were living in my parents' house in my old room. My daughter started waking up at the same time every night, and she'd talk. After a while, I noticed she had almost the same conversation every night. I playfully asked her once whom she was talking to, and she said, "It's a little boy. He's nice. He's lost and looking for his mommy." My daughter's nightly conversations continued until we got our own place later that year.
Yikes. They're like waking up at a certain time and talking to something.
And also like talking to something and scary, but also like the fact that like you're seeing it in the corner. Yeah, we've talked about this before again and again. Yeah, corners are like a portal kind of situation for paranormal. So this next one seems more sinister, and it was posted on the Pararational site and submitted by a user named Zach. Since I was around 5 or 6 years old, I've seen a boy who looks to be about 8. He's pale-skinned, and he has straight black hair. He wears a red jacket with black buttons and black pants and walks around barefoot. His eyes are completely black, and he has sharp-looking teeth. His fingers look barely too long to be normal. I see him everywhere I go, no matter where I may be. I moved around a lot growing up, living in different houses with my parents, in different states with different relatives. I'm currently enlisted in the Army, and I still see him everywhere I end up at. As a child, I used to talk to him, as he would come closer to me back then. Once, I was about 10, he started to keep his distance and just watch instead of actively talking to me. One time I was sitting in my bedroom talking to him, and I asked him what he liked to do. He told me he was a collector, and when I asked him what he liked to collect, he told me to follow him, and he would show me. As I was on my way out of the house, my dad asked me where I was going. I told him I was following my friend, and my dad naturally asked me who. I turned around, and he was gone. He just fucking vanished. Another time, when I was 12 years old, I was having trouble breathing, so my parents took me to the doctor. I was diagnosed with pectus excavatum. My chest sunk inwards to the point that as a child I used to pour milk and cereal into the crater in my chest and eat it. Once I put water and a fish in there and let it swim in circles for a bit to mess with my friends at a sleepover. So he's got this condition. Back to the diagnosis, the doctor told me I had less than a year to live. The crater had compressed one of my lungs to a third the normal size and was pressing my heart against my spine. Yeah, that's some heavy shit for a 12-year-old. During the entirety of the diagnosis, the kid in the corner of the room was there, smiling. Fucking smiling. I know this isn't normal black-eyed kid behavior, and there are a lot more instances of him showing up, but it's mainly during bad or life-changing events in my life. Every time I see him, I get a feeling that he wants to hurt me.
Yikes, that's super creepy.
Isn't it? Okay, I got one more along these lines. So this one comes from a medical care worker, and I always find these stories so fascinating and so interesting. And you have people with like scientific minds who are in the medical field, but then they're so close to death, and a lot of them have stories that just defy explanation. So this one says, one time I was doing a late night CNA shift at this one nursing home, which is in the middle of nowhere. One of our residents was a big fall risk and repeatedly tried to get up from her bed. She had to be looked at 24/7, so I carried around this little tablet, which was hooked to a webcam in her room, to keep an eye on her, even when I looked after other residents. One day, I was hearing some extremely weird noises in the tablet, and it was echoing, and the webcam seemed to detect more and more movement. So I walked into the fall risk resident's room to see what had happened. As I walked in, I saw her standing at the end of her bed, facing the wall. The last time she was known to stand by herself was 23 years ago. She didn't respond to me calling her name. Then she slowly turned around, and her eyes were completely black. I was frozen with fear as she started walking toward me, and then suddenly she just collapsed on the floor and her eyes turned back to normal. I quickly called for help, and she was rushed to the hospital, where she later passed away. To this day, I can't explain what happened, and it still haunts me every time I walk past that room.
Creepy.
Creepy. Right? Okay.
Okay.
So I got two more. All right. So, you know, black-eyed kids are usually described as being between the ages of 6 and 16. But there are some even younger. And there are even reports of black-eyed babies. Yes.
Okay,
come on.
Okay.
You got to do it. You've come this far. So I'll leave you with these. And they were posted online, and I found them on the Phantoms and Monsters site, which I just love. So this first one comes from a doctor. I'm a doctor practicing the last 40 years here in Eureka, California. So quite a long career. When I'm in my office late, I make it a point to break up the boredom of the massive paperwork mountain we doctors are now required to perform. I've heard stories about black-eyed children. Frankly, I would have rather heard about ghosts or UFOs, etc., because black-eyed children just did not seem plausible. I received my first doctorate in physics and became a physician so that I could resume my own theoretical research for dimensional periodic functions, which is pretty boring but needs a lot of time and may be instrumental in the multiverse theory. So this is like not a dumb person. You know, this is a highly educated, you know, super smart person, very scientific mind, very logical and rational, as you would have to be. So then they go on to say, one of the tricks I've used over the decade when a patient is fearful of a needle or something, some other potential procedure, is I ask the patient, what is the strangest thing you've ever seen? Which is a great idea. You know, you're getting your blood drawn or something like that, and they ask you. I mean, definitely distracts you. So once a patient is talking, breaking into some story, the chances of nausea are greatly reduced. So here's this story. One of my internal medicine colleagues sent me his wife for a procedure. The wife, the patient, is an attorney. For a patient, she's really nervous, even telling my assistant that she really dreads going to the dentist. So while I was performing the preliminaries to surgery, I asked, "What's the strangest thing you've ever seen?" And the patient replied that, "You wouldn't believe me." I'm not even sure I believe it myself. So now I really got to get this story. The patient finally acquiesced and told me what happened. It was March of 2015. The patient was in our local Safeway pushing a cart like everyone else. She was on the left side of the aisle. Being left-handed, she was taking items with her left hand and putting them into her cart. At this point, she hears the sound of a baby cooing, like in baby talk. And this baby was in a cart that had drawn up parallel next to her. She looked up, and she sees a blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby of indeterminate sex, about 8 months old. So she smiled, and she said, "Hi, baby." At this point, the child made eye contact with her, and immediately the baby's eyes turned a deep, opaque black. Not just the iris, but the sclera as well. She took a rapid step back, not only fearful of the transmogrification, but the feeling of being drawn into those eyes. She broke eye contact. The baby smiled at her, black eyes and all, showing its apparently newly erupted two front teeth. She was immobile as the mother of the child and the basket carried on their way down the aisle, turning right on the end. The baby looked at her as the mother made this turn. Its eyes were normal again and blue, just like before. My patient then went on to the end of the aisle, turned left, checked out, and went home, fearing she was having some kind of psychotic break. So I asked her a few questions. "Did you see the mother?" And she said no. But she was ballet dancer thin, had long blonde hair, wore jeans. She didn't see any, you know, noticeable facial features or, you know, anything that looked out of the ordinary. And then I asked her, "Have you ever heard of the black-eyed children?" And she said, "No, I would never ascribe to that paranormal stuff." That was her response. So she had never heard of it, and this wasn't something, you know, in the back of her mind. And just to be complete, this patient was not a drinker, nor does she have any history of drugs, save some THC in college, as we've all had. I do not know what to make of this story. The patient is a practicing attorney, well-respected in our small community and married to a physician. There was nothing in her demeanor at all in our context to make me suspect drug abuse, mental or abnormalities, anything like that. So an ophthalmologist colleague told me also that he had once heard a similar story but does not know any syndromes that would cause black sclera, save for, you know, some kind of severe trauma.
What's sclera? That's the white.
That's the white of the eyes. Yeah, yeah. So in other words, there ain't no medical diagnosis
that can do that. That's not right, right.
Really account for this. Yeah, it's never right. Okay, so we got one more. And this person, the source is Darkness Radio, January 4th, 2016. This happened to me in the mid-1970s. My ex-wife was working at the Atlantic City racetrack. Her boss and I became very close friends. He brought his girlfriend over. She had this toddler with a big head. I didn't pay too much attention to the kid, as to tell the truth, I was eyeing up his girl most of the time. This is the 70s. He didn't drive and asked me to drive him to the store for cigarettes. My wife said she'd drive him, so she placed the kid in a carrier that I noticed he was way too big for. She had him on the kitchen table, and I was talking to her from the den across the room. Then this girl asked me to mind the kid while she went into the bathroom. It was getting dark, and I hadn't put the lights on yet. I walked in the kitchen, and this kid with solid black eyes scared me so bad, I almost threw a punch at him. He stared at me like he could talk, and that look was spine-chilling. I remember backing into my den almost frozen with panic. This kid never took that stare from me. Then, with a clear adult voice, he said, "What's the matter?" I did not imagine this. The toilet flushed and she came out. I ran to the back of the house till my wife came back. I never told anyone the story, and it's the truth, so help me.
Wow. Okay.
So there you go.
Black-eyed babies.
Black-eyed babies.
Cool. Well, what do you think?
Well, I mean, there are different schools of thought about this, and I think you might be able to guess where I come down here. So one of them is, you know, that they're alien, or maybe some kind of hybrid between human and alien. You know, a lot of times in, you know, alien abduction experiencers describe when they see the eyes of these aliens that they are very like insect-like and black all the way across. So some people kind of think it's that. Then they also have a lot of similarity. There's a similar thing with vampire lore where they seem to be, they need to be asked in or invited in some way or given permission to enter. They don't just, you know, barge into a house. So a lot of times in at least your typical black-eyed kid encounter, they knock at the door and then they're like, will you let us in? Can we come in? Or they're knocking on the outside of someone's car and they always ask. They never just like, you know, force their way in. It's almost like there's some barrier there preventing them and you have to almost open like a spiritual door to enable them to enter. And then finally, like a lot of people think these are like straight up demons. And I think that's kind of where I'm coming to.
Yeah.
You know? Doesn't seem like anything good. You know, I personally believe, you know, little children, you know, anyone who's gone through some horrible tragedy and been murdered, you know, I don't think that they stick around and are tormented.
Yeah, I hope not. Yeah.
You know, I think there's some place good in being comforted. And I think like some, you know, you hear a lot of these stories where, you know, there's a reason why entities, whether they're like a trickster or a demon or something else along those lines, it's like, you know, human weakness. We want to take care of like vulnerable creatures, whether they're animals or small children or something like that. And so they pose as that or mimic that, you know, back to our Forest Mimics episode, you know, there's a sense of like something, you know, and we have this innate intuition warning us that there's something not quite right. And yet on the surface, it looks to be a child. It looks to be, you know, something in need of help, but you know, it's meant to kind of play on our sympathies. But what do you think?
I mean, I feel like it's definitely one of those like phenomena or just, you know, legends that have sort of like wormed their way into our psyche. That's at this point, it's like really hard for me to sort of distinguish it from like creepypasta. You know what I mean? Because it definitely, I feel like, takes on a life of its own. Right. And then, you know, is that like then creating some type of phenomena? You know what I mean? Is that like, you know, these fears sort of people have then? Yeah, like a tulpa.
Like a tulpa, you mean? Like where it's actually creating something?
I mean, I think so I feel like some of this stuff, I mean, we've had other stories like this that, like, we don't really know if, like, it's a number of, like, different types of things that happen, and then we kind of draw this circle around them. Do you know what I mean? And we're like, oh, it's these things. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because that the first black-eyed kid story, I'm, you know, my feeling about that one, it was like, oh, that definitely could have been some type of extraterrestrial or something like that, right? Like that, you know, the eyes, right? That there definitely are like extraterrestrial encounters, or as people, you know, see them, as they describe them, that, you know, where the eyes are a thing, right? Where, and we see them like recurring in a lot of different stories, right? There's red eyes that recur a lot. There's orange eyes that recur. Mm-hmm. There's like kind of almost all the colors, right? And black's definitely one of them too, right?
Right.
But black and red.
Black and red. I mean, they're the scary ones.
Although the extraterrestrial encounters have been described, that when they describe their eyes, they're not as scary. They're like deep, right? They're not like soulless. They're like, they're black, but they're like, you know, there's a depth to them. And so, you know, maybe it's something like that. Maybe, you know, in some of these cases, sort of in the beginning. And then I think there are these like weird, I mean, like all of our, you know, just going back through a lot of the stories around like hauntings and just like poltergeists and things like this, the idea that even with little children, that sometimes some types of spirit sort of mask or something sort of masks as children for to you know, interact or to lure in, I think is some type of weird thing that sounds terrifying to me, but like there seems to be.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it could also be like a type of ghost, you know, that's,
right,
that's posing
right,
as
right.
children.
I mean,
too.
That's definitely like, you know, there's stories, there's lots of stories of like, mediums and psychics, you know, being brought in to, you know, where that like the kid has like a, imaginary friend that they think is some type of ghost and they're like, oh no, that's not, you know, and then it kind of like, it kind of turns on them. Right. And so that, you know, I think it, there definitely could be something like that. And then, yeah, like maybe there is some type of just like, you know, expectation or just something deep in our psyche that like fears such a thing. You know, there's something about like symbolic about sort of black eyes or that, you know, when people like have like, you know, some of them could be like, you know, apparitions or even hallucinations, right? But that doesn't mean that that there isn't like a still a meaning to it, you know?
Right. One thing we didn't mention is skinwalkers too, like for the forest sightings, you know, you often hear about them being shapeshifters and mimics and kind of mimicking the voices of loved ones to try and lure people.
And I mean, that's definitely one of those ones too. I mean, I don't know if like skinwalkers are really a real thing or not, you know, but it's one of those one. Huh?
A lot of people think so.
I know a lot of people think so. Well, no, I'm just saying that the more stories I hear about them, the more I'm like, the more like eyewitness accounts of stuff, I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, maybe this is like a real thing. Do you know what I mean? Because like, I mean, I say this a lot on the show, like no matter what our opinions are, what we think about these things and how we sort of describe them to each other or try to like group a phenomena or whatever, discount them, people still have these experiences despite all that. Do you know what I mean? Despite, and throughout history, it's not even throughout time, right? Like it's like people have been having experiences like this for a very long time. They'll continue. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what, you know, the prevalent science or religion of the time thinks. People just have these experiences, you know? And there's something not to be denied about that, right? Like we live in a psychological world, right? We live in a projected world, really. So if they are sometimes projections, like that's not something that's separate from all the other things we're projecting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. I find it very interesting that time and time again with these stories, there's sort of a request to be let in. And like kind of barrier, you know? And I mean, I feel like, you know, it does map back to like the vampire lore that we've talked about, but like, is there a deeper meaning, a deeper spiritual meaning with that, where it's kind of like, you know, we all have a choice and free will, you know, and you know, that there's something to this notion of opening doors to things that you don't want to let in, but it is your choice in the end.
And well, the idea of, you know, these things, whatever they are, energies, spirits, I don't know, but things in the natural world that aren't sort of manifest, let's say, right? And aren't necessarily like animal or human or anything like that, right? Of some type of energetic or spiritual nature that wants to become manifest, that wants to come into the world, right? That wants to be, find its way in or draw some sort of energy from interacting with that world. I think there is stuff like that. And I think they do that, you know, I don't know if all of it's sort of malevolent or benevolent, or even if that is even like a fair you know, assessment of that, of that world, right? But I think that is a thing that happens, you know, just purely based off of like so many people's experiences with the things like that happening,
right?
And at the end of the day, we don't really know what it is, you know. We right. sort of fit it into our worldview, but and maybe we have a better sense of it than we think we do, but you know, we're still kind of projecting a reality onto it. So I don't know. I mean, I think that there's something, I think it's like kind of like, not to not sort of like take a stance on, you know, but I feel like some of this, some of these things happen to some people. Some of it's probably creepypasta, and some of it's, yeah, you're going to get that.
Of course. Yeah, you're going to get the creepypasta mixed in.
And then some.
But the people that have never heard of these stories, and, you know, I mean,
I can't
discount everything everyone says all the time.
You know, like I said, people sort of can't help but having, the people that don't want to be having these experiences have them. So, you know, I think there's something there.
Right. I would love to talk to Brian Bethel absolutely. And like get his take on it too. You know, like I think we should try to try to get
all
him
I know.
Show. So what would you do? Seth?
I mean, the one thing I do know is that it freaks me out and that like it's scary.
Okay, so that ladders up to what I was going to ask you next. Okay, so like if there's a knock at the door tonight, what would you do if you look out and you see a couple of kids with black eyes?
Call the cops. And be like, okay, what are these children doing out fucking late at night by themselves, right, black eyes or no, right. You know what I mean? Like if any two kids came up on your on your porch these days, I mean, back in the 80s that would have been like, you know, nothing big, right. But nowadays if you see a loose kid in the daylight, it's like cause for alarm,
right? It doesn't matter how cold it is, just don't let them in. Call the cops, call the authorities, call people who are like able to deal with
this absolutely stuff. I'd straight call the police, like, sorry, you know, you gotta wait here on the porch if you really are in trouble. You know, so anyways, what would you do?
Same
please.
I've already prepped myself after reading all these stories, like I'm not gonna lie, I've been like sort of creeped out.
I'd call the police
at night.
I'd call the police.
I get a little scared.
All right. Well, I'm sufficiently creeped out. Then. I feel like that was a good Halloween story.
Same. Yeah. We are going to do another little bonus episode. So if you guys have any stories that you want to send in real quick, we're going to be doing a campfire special pretty soon. We'd love to hear your stories. Also, I just want to say thank you to people who've left us lovely reviews. That means so much. This is it really helps us out. I mean, we're a very small, you know, mom and pop podcast, and we appreciate the support. If you're enjoying the show, please just take a minute or two, you know, and just, you know, even if you're just like, love it, leave us a review. We really appreciate it. Throw us 5 stars.
Yes.
And also, we've got merch. We've got merch that's available.
Yes.
And glow in the dark buttons
for Halloween. All right. Well, I feel like we've done it. All right. So I guess until next time, happy Halloween. Yeah.
Until next time, happy Halloween. Happy Spooktober. All right. Bye.
Shadowland Podcast is produced by Seth Jablon and Christina Callery. Edited by Tim Kelly. Theme music by Tim Lincoln.
Thanks, Tim.